Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
So like Art said, my name is Julia Porizolu, and I am half Turkish, half Filipino. Wow, crazy mix, right? My mom is one of six children, and she is three of the six girls married Turkish men. So half the grandchildren are half Turkish, half Filipino. So I think that's six grandchildren that are half Turkish, half Filipino. I was pretty much raised Muslim growing up. I wore a hijab during prayer. A hijab is equivalent to what some Catholics wear as a veil. It is traditional wear that women wear over their hair as a sign of modesty, that they would have to wear all day, throughout the day. The only people that could not wear, the only time they did not wear one was if they were showering or when they were in front of their husband or their significant other. There are five prayers in a day, which are called the Salah. It is pre-dawn, noon, afternoon, sunset, and night. I only participated in the pre-dawn and the night prayers because I was in school or I was in Arabic school. So I attended Arabic school here in Poway, and it was basically for children that was raised here in the States but needed to be cultured on the Islam religion. So we learned how to speak, write, read, and in Arabic. One of the first books I ever picked up was the Quran. And so you read it from the back forward. This one is different that I bought later in my young adult years. Mine did not have an English translation. So I was learning how to read what it basically wrote, the Arabic language, and then it had the English, not the English translation, but the English way to pronounce it. So that was what I was reading growing up, and that was what I was doing with my sister and my brother and my dad when we were at the dinner table, saying all these prayers. On weekends, my family would attend a mosque called Abu Bakr on the corner of 805 and Balboa, which is still standing. So it's a big Islamic center. When I used to go with my family, the women would not be able to enter the same door as the men. We could not sit in the same room as the men. Any children that were below 10 years old had to go with the women. We entered this little side door from the church. Imagining entering OMC from the side, you couldn't walk through those grand bronze doors. So you were treated differently because the men were superior. If you were a young boy that was over 10, you went with all the elder men and you brought your rug with you and you prayed while the women were above. I didn't understand this. It didn't make sense to me. I questioned it. Of course, questioning comes with a price. The language was hard. Going to Arabic school and learning it for 3 hours a night and then going into night prayers, it was hard. It wasn't easy. I had to learn math and science on top of Arabic and learn how to do great soccer tricks and be good on my team. It was tough. It was a hard not life for a seven-year-old. I swear, my life was coming to an end. Where I went to Arabic school, I went Monday through Friday in Poway. It didn't last long because after the September 11th attacks, some Americans decided to take things in their own hands against Muslims and they burnt down the mosque. They lit it on fire. So it no longer stands. Currently there's a new Islamic center in Poway, which is hard because I had a lot of friends who were Muslim as well. They were nice, they were peaceful. I called them my friends. We got along really well. And so it was hard not to see them anymore. And I put the picture of me as a baby up here. You can tell the Chicago Cubs is cropped up. This is actually a White Sox jersey. Clothes were passed on from grandchild to grandchild. I'm wearing my eldest cousin, who's now 47's, onesie. In this picture, did not know why they flew a onesie from, They flew a onesie from Chicago to San Diego for me, but I'll call it love, but I'm a hardcore Chicago Cubs fan. I'll accept the 108 years of losses. This is me in a hijab. You can see the Turkish flag in the back. And this is my full legal name, Julia Porrizolu. You may ask me how to say my last name. If you ask my siblings and my mom, we all say it differently. So, and it comes with the language. Each of the alphabet letters has a different character over it. I do not have the accent to pronounce my last name or my first name. So like the U in my first name is supposed to be like a huh sound, like that U. And I can never say my first name like Julia. Like, no, that doesn't sound right to me. But this is how you legally spell my first and last name with its characters, which you don't typically see. And then I just wore a traditional scarf when I was at home. And this was at when my family lived in Vermesa. How do we do this? Oops, no, go back. This is my family, my mom, my sister, my brother, and I. We had a big change that happened to my family in 99. My parents were filing for divorce. My mom, she was Filipino, was raised Catholic. She is an immigrant from the Philippines. My dad was raised Turkish, born in Turkey, immigrated to the States. So I'm a first generation American, which is probably, I blame my parents for not understanding common American idioms or sarcasm because we never spoke it in the home. So mere Christianity was a tough read for me. Still is, because I still don't understand sarcasm. My mom being raised Catholic, she followed her way back to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I noticed at home, because we moved here to PQ when I was three, shortly when I would notice that she would like creep out of the house on Sunday mornings. And this is when Our Lady of Mount Carmel was in the Father Fawcett Hall, where you had the base chairs like this, all lined up in a row, no kneeling, nothing, with a view, full mountain view right behind you. And she would escape every Sunday. I think it was like after a couple weeks, I walked up to her. It's like, Mom, where are you going? And at this time, we called my mom Enne. It is how you say mom in Arabic. And she goes, I'm going to church. This shocked me. I'm like, what is church? She did her best way of explaining what church is. It sounded like another mosque. You're going to pray. Great. She went a couple times, and then I finally decided to follow her. So I followed her to church. They have the K through 5 classes, where they come into buildings A, B, and C, and they separate. I never went. I was too scared. Finally, I gained up the courage to go. It's like, oh, the kids are going. I want to go have fun. Like, these kids come back with, like, coloring kits and connect the dots. I was like, I could do this. So I started attending those K through 5 classes while my mom stayed during the whole mass. I became a little bit more curious. I was like, Mom, why are they eating a fig Newton? Like, why are they having, like, I got curious. Remember, I'm not Catholic. I don't know any of the things. Why do everybody else gets grape juice and I don't? Like, I'm maybe 10 years old at this point, and she's trying her best to explain the catechism to me. And she's been so fallen away because she had converted to Islam and is now coming back to her faith. I had continued attending the K through 5 classes and I loved it. I was looking forward to coming every Sunday. I would get right in front of my mirror and be like, I'm ready every Sunday, and I'd put on my best clothes. Now I know it's my best Sunday clothes. And I'd get dressed up. I even repeated 5th grade a second time because I liked it so much. I didn't think it was fair that other kids got to go K through 5 and I only got 5th grade. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna stay in another grade and just not tell anybody. Little did I know, when I got baptized, I had to confess that. So I'm pretty sure Mrs. Hassenstab knew I was repeating 5th grade, but she never told me. My mom asked me if I wanted to get baptized. New vocab word. So Eucharist was not born yet to me. She asked me if I wanted to get baptized. I asked her what it was. She's like, you have to, this is when you're able to get the cracker and taste some of the juice. And then you get to have God in your heart. Because Father Frank had his 10-minute homilies and would explain to you of that euphoric feeling of God inside of you. And it was pure joy and solace and peace, and I wanted that. My dad had been gone maybe a couple years from my life, and I wanted that. I sought a family, essentially, a complete family. And I said yes to my mom. I asked her, okay, what's the catch? She said I'd have to go to classes. I was like, Arabic school. She's like, no, it's like your K through 5 classes. So I started going to baptismal classes on Sundays. I went to confirmation class on Wednesdays. I went to communion class after my baptismal classes on Sundays. And I went to CCD on Tuesday, Thursday, because I was between the grades of 6 and 8. So it felt like Arabic school all over again, 5 days a week, or technically 4 days a week, of Catholic school, in my sense. But I loved every minute of it. I loved the peers around me. I loved the community that surrounded me. It just made me feel like home. Coming here to Our Lady of Mount Carmel made me feel like home. And that's what I was looking for. I wanted to find that community of a family. And that's exactly what I got. This one. Jesus came knocking on my door. All of us have heard of the parable of Jesus coming knocking on your door, and there's no doorknob on his side, and you have to open it. My mom opened that door again to Jesus, saying she wants to come back. Then I decided to follow in her footsteps because I was the little girl crawling through her legs when she opened it for Jesus. He came back, knocked on the door for me, and I opened it. I said, come into my life, I'm ready. And he answered. Oops, no, go back. Aw, so cute! I got rid of the baseball onesie. Juliana was born. Saint Juliana is my confirmation name. Juliana is also the name of my great-grandmother, my mom's aunt. She is a very spiritual woman in the Philippines, led the town to going to church. I recently went to the Philippines 2 years ago to visit my mom's homeland since she immigrated 40 years ago. Her community stands for hard work, integrity, and humility, the same values my mom teaches me. Their church in their town only has one Sunday mass because they can't afford to have a priest for daily mass and on weekends. And I went every day to daily mass at the cathedral to make sure that I attended mass. I wanted to know how hard it was. And it gave me a sense of, can I make it to daily mass when I'm back in the States? Do I take it for granted and only go on Sundays? And it reinstilled this importance of the Eucharist for me. When I came back to the States, I started going to daily mass, and I was like, yes, I hate waking you up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll do it for you, Jesus. And I did. And then St. Elizabeth Seton had an 8:30 a.m. mass, and then I started going there because it was later. But Juliana was born. I am second in line to inherit my great-grandmother's black Nazarene that currently sits in my uncle's home in the Philippines. So I'm excited. It's a bronze black Nazarene. It's over 100 years old, and it's a family heirloom. Guess who's first in line to get it? My mother. So I tell my mom, I'll pray for you. I'm getting it. And I was baptized on March 30, 2002. I got my baptismal rites, my confirmation, and my communion on the same day. This is my mom, Ophelia. She's in many ministries here at Our Lady. There's her baby right there. So if you've not seen me at Mass, I do veil at Mass. It is a family tradition as well. All practicing female Catholics in my family veil. So it's a very big tradition for us. It's a sign of humility and modesty, sign of reverence. We look at ourselves as brides to Jesus, and we are a walking, living tabernacle for him. And it is an honor for us to be created in a way to carry human life, if that is our vocation, but most of all, supernatural life, and that's carrying out his message. So that is very evident in all of the women in our family, especially those of veil. My mom loved the idea of a built-in comb in the veil so it doesn't fall off. This was my first veil ever, and it fell down all the time. So I ended up sewing a little veil on hers. And then my sister ended up getting baptized as well when I did. She was going through the RCIA program with me. My brother, you can see, he is agnostic, so he did not come into the Catholic faith. I'm working on it. And being baptized on March 30th, that is currently still the best day of my life. So I celebrate it every year. The boyfriend comes with me to Mass, and we go to daily Mass. So a little side tangent joke. I'm allergic to peanuts and tree nuts. Hello, attendants. We have a peanut allergy on the plane. We can't serve almonds. He goes this. So I'm going to press the rewind button really quickly. And do you remember when I said my parents were filing for divorce? Yep. I say parents only because of technicality. My dad wasn't involved. My parents moved to San Diego because of the Navy, and he was deployed a lot. And I would only classify my dad because Merriam-Webster define a father as one that brings forth offspring, and two, one that cares for your child. My dad was never in my life. He wasn't there, and when the divorce happened, he was gone. So I never had a father figure. So it brings us back with the prayer we started, our father. What really got me to convert into the faith was a father figure. And I looked at God as father. He is my dad. I'm gonna come here because of him. And to this day, the only relationship I have with my dad is my roots, the blood that runs through my veins, my Turkish heritage. And that's it. Otherwise, he's not in the picture. I wanted to seek a father so bad that it became an unhealthy obsession. I looked through the Bible for every passage on what a father is supposed to do. Going through anything from Ephesians to the Book of Wisdom, anything in the Bible that can tell me what a dad and his role is, the role of a family and what you're supposed to do. This led me to starting to question God as I was going through our RCIA program. Why? Why would you give me a family that's not? I was 11 years old, and I was looking at little girls get picked up by their dads, and I felt something missing. So I'd spend time in the Blessed Sacrament in the back of the Father Fawcett Hall, and I'd be praying, and I'd sit there. And you know, some people may think I had an imaginary friend when I was young, but it was God that was always there. I would sit cross-legged on the floor with my Bible open, and I'd be taking notes and reading and just sitting with him and what I now know as being as a young adult. But I would sit with them and just talk to him. He was there for me. He guided me. Father Lou, Father Frank, Father Andre were the physical fathers in my life that guided me. It was the community here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel that brought me in, because just because someone wasn't my blood dad didn't mean someone could help raise me. Didn't say that someone else couldn't be in my life. And that is what brought in God the Father. He reined me in. He's like, I will take care of you. I will show you people that can take care of you. I am here in your life now, tomorrow, forever, as long as you believe in me. And I took that to heart. And I still now visit the Blessed Sacrament as if it's like, coming home, let's have a talk. And I would. I'll go to St. John the Evangelist, and I'll just sit there. And I'll bring out my book, or just sit and stare at the 8 rays coming out of the monstrance. And it was because of Mrs. Hassenstab that told me that talking to God was socially acceptable. If I just told anybody else or my friends that I was talking to God, they'd probably think I was imagining it. I had my little imaginary friend Todd like walking by saying like, hey, what's up, bro? But no, God was there. And God was coming, walking along with me along the way, and he was guiding me. He carried me most of the way. You know those the footprints. He carried me most of my childhood years. And I was knocking on his door. I was asking questions. I was seeking answers. Oh, before I move on. And this, now I'm 27 years old, free young adult, and I'm still determining my vocation. Struggles since confirmation, baptism, and communion are still real. Just this year, I've lost so many family members. I've lost 3 family members in 8 months. I now tell my family in Chicago, I'm done coming. Just unless someone gets baptized or confirmed, but it's hard. And you ask God, like, okay, give me the comfort, give me solace, help me to understand what's going on. Or work, my core values were being questioned in my corporate work, in my corporate office. And what do? Do you follow the company, what they ask you to do, or do you stick to your core values? I ended up leaving the company because they challenged my integrity. And I ended up leaving, which now chooses what comes first when I work now. I told my boss flat out, on Sundays, if we have to travel, because I travel a lot for work, I need to go to Mass. I need to find time for Mass. And she respected that. And she told her boss about that, and he respected it. So now if I travel on Sundays, I get to miss any meeting throughout the day that conflicts with Mass, because it's that important. In personal life, trying to determine my vocation, is it to marriage, single life, religious life? I don't know. I'm waiting for God to answer that question. And no matter how many times I knock on his door, he may not answer, and I'm okay with that. I'm gonna wait when he's ready to give me that answer, or when he says, okay, I have something else for you to work on, which is typically the case. He always wants me to work on something else. I've always been close to God and to Jesus, never so much to Mary. I've always been told you're either close to one or the other, and I have a lot of, so God's my spiritual dad, Jesus is my spiritual bro, and I'm not trying to humanize them, but this is just how it makes it easier for me to talk to them and verbalize my feelings and open up to them. I'm gonna introduce you to my spiritual mom, Mary. So we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima this past year. Never been called to Mary. I have an image of Our Lady of the Rosary in my bedroom. I have an altar set up. Never been called to her. Prayed the rosary often. And on the 100th anniversary of Fatima, I went to the Fatima conference at Palo Father Gately. He was saying a lot of stuff up there. And I think what I heard most of the day was Mary asking me to spend tomorrow with her. That's all I got from it. Walked off, said Mary asking me, spend tomorrow with me. And I've been praying to her to give me a lot of comfort. Give me some peace. Hold me in your arms the same way that you held Jesus. Mary, I just need to cry. Just let me, hold me the same way a mother cares for her child. So that night I went to my mom, had dinner with her, sat her down, I was like, Mom, I can't come home tomorrow. And the next day was Sunday, because the Fatima conference was on Saturday. I was like, but I need your blessing. Tomorrow's Mother's Day, and I'm not gonna spend it with my birth mother. I asked her, Mary's calling me, and I have to listen. The story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Juan Diego was gonna miss doing something for Our Lady of Guadalupe to tend for her uncle, San Juan Bernardo, and she said, no, he'll be okay. Bring this Tilma to the city. And the fifth apparition was San Bernardo, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to San Juan Bernardo and healed him. The sixth apparition was her appearing in the Tilma in the city. Couple months later, I heard Mary calling me again. I was ready to start the book, True Devotion to Mary, but I wasn't really committed to it yet. But I heard Mary call me and say, come visit me. So, it's like, Mom, I'm going to Mexico next week. She's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go visit Mama Mary. She's like, I'm coming. And what perfect way to go to Mexico City with my mom. So my mom and I visited Our Lady Guadalupe, spent 4 days there. We actually had a private tour guide through our own parishioner who set it up, Cece Ayala. He is a missionary for Our Lady Guadalupe. And what he does is he travels all around the world, spreading this mission of praying the rosary every night. And he gave us a private tour for 2.5 days. and he met Papa Francisco. So he was able to take us to his mission and visit one of the missions and how poor it is in Mexico City. And it was just an amazing experience to go see Mama Mary. And she is my spiritual mother. I have spiritual sisters, like St. Teresa Carmel. I'm very much infatuated with St. Teresa right now because of the little way. I am just this little girl with my teddy bear angel, and we go everywhere together. And what St. Teresa of Carmel did, being so young, just inspires me of that, how you can just do so much for others, but be so little. And it's just a simple act that you can do to evangelize, or I don't know, anything else that you can do. Which brings me to my wrap up. I talked about my family. I'm fatherless. I don't have a dad. But I do have a family. My mom calls us the crazy kids. This is our Christmas photo from a couple years ago. We also don't like taking photos. This is my cousin who just passed away 4 weeks ago. These are my cousins. This is my godson and his two siblings. This is my mom. This is my goddaughter and her son. And this is my eldest cousin. That was her White Sox onesie. And this is my mom. My mom is a big part of my life. She is my best friend. She, without her saying yes to come back to the church, I wouldn't have came back to the church. She continues to pray. About the same time that I got a call from Mary, she did too. And now she's part of the Legion of Mary group. It is because of my family here on earth, who I call my earth family. It was really funny because today my boyfriend goes, we should celebrate Earth Mom's birthday. Because I told my mom, I was like, yeah, Mom, you're my Earth Mom. She goes, is that an American thing? My mom is also a breast cancer survivor. So we celebrate and we do a walk, you know, every October as a family and go. But she is my inspiration. She is my influence. I come home every Sunday hoping to spend Sunday Mass with her if she did not go to the 8 a.m. Mass, because that is too early for me. But I go every Sunday with her. But this is my Earth family. I spend a lot of time with them. I fly back to Chicago a lot just to spend time with my nieces and my nephews. I Facebook video with my goddaughter. I'm going to be starting that soon to go over the UCAT and catechism with her, because she didn't learn much in her confirmation courses. So in the state of Indiana, they finished confirmation at 8th grade. So very young. She hasn't even entered the dating scene yet. So, but it's things like that. My Earth family here means a lot to me. But what's just as important as spending time with my Earth family is spending time with my spiritual family. So going to adoration once a week is important to me, and I'll take time. I have the luxury of working from home. I picked a job where I can work from home so I can go to adoration when I'm struggling. Any time that I struggle or reach an adversity or something, I go to church. I pull out my rosary out of my purse. I pray. It is where I find peace. It is where I find solace. And that is how my heart rate drops when I'm anxious. So maybe after this, I need to go pray. And that's just important. When I struggle, the one thing I remember is the 5 piercings that Jesus had. No struggle is greater than what he did for us. And that was a true sign of love. Nothing that I'm ever going to experience here on this earth is going to be greater than what he did. And Father Anthony taught me that when he first joined here. When I come here to Our Lady, I still need a dad. And I spend time with the community here at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And it's probably why, when I go church shopping, why I don't just stay in Carlsbad. I'm a resident of Carlsbad. And I drive all the way to Our Lady of Mount Carmel to go to Mass because of the community here. The family that raised me. Hopefully, maybe the family, the community that will eventually raise my children, if God decides that is the way I want to go. Or not what I want to go, where he wants to go. I really don't get a say in the matter. But I am the woman I am now. I'm going to be the woman I am then because of the community I surround myself with. So spending time with my earth family, spending time with my spiritual family, but spending time with the actual community itself. And it's getting engaged, activating yourself, and building it. what do you want to do? And for me, it's, how do I motivate myself? It's learning how to play softball on the Our Lady of Mount Carmel team. Or it's signing up for a shift at St. John the Evangelist to get me there. And now I just go on my own. Or it's finding a group of girlfriends to pray the rosary with. Or do a small retreat with, because we want to grow. Because we've forgotten about our faith because we're too busy in corporate world. It's finding that niche that with my friends that helped me grow. And I definitely fell when I was in college away from the faith, but I came back because of my friends. And they taught me where I needed to be. So I'll leave you with this. Having a rough morning, when I wake up Monday morning, the next five are going to be the roughest. Place your hand over your heart. Feel that? That's called purpose. You're alive for a reason. Don't give up. I may not know what God's vocation for me is, but I do know it is to love, and it is to love others. So at the end of the day, if I can say, I did my best to love others through my neighbors, my friends, family, relationships, God, then I am living God's vocation in this current moment until He decides to change it for me. But He's not going to change that for me. He's going to continue to say, love, love, love. It is my now, it is my future, and it is going to be my eternity, because God did that for us. And He's continuing to do that for me now. And that's it. Oh, and last thing. I talk about this teddy bear. And he kind of lives on my bed, and I know I'm 27 years old, and I'm an adult. But I love this illustration. I'm a child at heart, I'm a little girl, and I always will be God's little girl. It's a picture of this little girl holding her teddy bear, and God's asking for it. And He has this bigger one behind us. God always has something in store for us, something bigger. And it's, are we going to give up what's important to us so He can give us something, or are we going to deny Him from rewarding us, from not? And one day, I hope to fully give my teddy bear to Jesus, that I completely trust You, because I'm not there yet, and I know it. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. It's a whip. So, and until then, Angel is going to stand by me, and I'm going to be there. Angel is just as Catholic as I am, don't worry. He's male, so he doesn't veil. But one day I'm going to give up Angel for the bigger teddy bear Jesus has in store for me, and I'm trying to figure that out. So I'm going to close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your providence, Your fortitude, and Your direction. We thank You for Your intercession, that You always come into our hearts, blessing us with our families here on earth, our families spiritually, giving us Mama Mary to look to. May we continue to follow in Your way, and that one day that we can give up things that are dear to us, a loss of a family member, an item, a teddy bear, that we can soon give our whole entire selves up to You. We continue to thank You, we continue to put ourselves before You, and we ask that Your will be done unto us. In Your name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.